Why do you let the Kleshas trample all over you? Make you just unhappy. And you say, yes, make me unhappy. I'm so happy when I'm unhappy. It's not you, it's not me, it's not mine. Anicca anatta dukkha. Whatever we see, whatever we feel, whatever we hear, whatever we experience cannot be me. It's up to you, to let them make you unhappy. You can be happy. Darren? No? There's nothing wrong with being happy. What was that? Does anybody remember the song? It was in the 70s or 80s. Don't worry, be happy. The moment we worry, we are unhappy. We worry about tomorrow. And tomorrow, has it come? No. We worry about yesterday. Can we change anything? No. Why don't we just stay in the present moment? And there are no worries in the present moment. What am I going tomorrow? What am I going to do next year? What am I going to do in 10 years? Maybe we die tonight. Can all happen. Don't let yourself, be drowned by the kilesas. They're not you, they're not me, they're not mine, they're not myself. Whatever comes, what comes in the mind, it's like a cloud, it comes in and it passes by and goes. Feelings, you realize that over your life, feelings come and go, Some feelings we don't like, other feelings we like, but even if we like them, they go away, Unhappy feelings will also go away, Don't get fooled by the kilesas. And don't. Don't just be robots. Conditioning. I was talking about conditioning. We are conditioned. When we see this person, we react like this. When we are in this situation, we react like that. When Daryl goes home and sees his mother, he becomes a child again. When we see our parents, we become children. When we see our friends, we become adults. When we see our boss, we duck our head. And so on, and so on, and so on. We shouldn't be robots, we should be human beings. Live up, live up to your human, Homo sapiens, but what does a Homo sapiens, it's not easy to be a Homo sapiens, A Homo sapiens knows what he's doing, why is he doing, and what the results of our doing is. When was the last time you asked yourself this? You just do, you just go ahead and do it, and do it, and do this, speak that, Never ask yourself why. What is happening at the moment before you do something? We just go ahead, There's a voice there, our friends, we call them friends, or we call them me, mine, Tells us what to do, What to like, what to dislike. And then we say, yes, my Lord, yes, my Lord, yes, yes, yes. Now I'm unhappy, yes. Now I'm happy, yes. Now I need this, yes. We don't say no. Now I'm tired, I need to go to bed, yes. Now I'm hungry, I need to eat, yes. We only say yes. But it's not us. Who suggests this? Who knows that there's a voice that suggests it? Ever heard this voice? Well, when you start meditating, you hear it constantly. You should do it like this, you should do it like this. This is nice, this is not so nice. Huh? Ever heard this voice? It's constantly there, 24 hours radio. Yeah? Turn off the radio, boops. Peacefulness, happiness. Huh? As long as this radio goes on, you know, tells us what is happening. Yeah? It constantly tells us, yeah? What we see, it tells us what we hear, it tells us what we like, it tells us what we don't like. But if you turn it off, you know, I mean, just peacefulness. Huh? Ease, happiness. So, why do we live with this constant noise? That's a question you should ask yourself. Turn it off. And the way to turn it off, you know, I told you, you know how to do it. You just go into samadhi and stop thinking and stop memorizing. Very easy, yeah? Click off, happy. Click on, unhappy. Oh, yeah? Become humans, yeah? Don't be robots, yeah? I understand, you know, I'm in the world nowadays, you know, it's only robots, yeah? They get an input, you know, and they have to do it, you know, to get that output, yeah? And everything else, you know, questioning why we should do it, you know, and what the result of our doing is, that is not asked, yeah? Asked of us. We're just robots, you know, who functions, yeah? Or like Pink Floyd said, you know, we're just another brick in the wall, yeah? just building the society, one brick after the other brick, you know, building the society. And, you know, we have to function in this way and we have to function in that way. If we don't function like they want, you know, I mean, they either get rid of us, or we don't get any money or any food or any land or, you know, whatever. No? Then we have to say yes, we have to growl, yeah, growl to them, you know, and say, yes, I will do it the way you want to do it. Hmm? No, let's become human beings again. Huh? Well, what is a human being? A human being knows, you know, he's conscious of his doing. Huh? He's aware of what is he doing. Hmm? Why is he doing it and what are the results of his doing is. But this is difficult, yeah? We don't want to ask these questions, yeah? Huh? We just want to go to the buffet. Or we just want to do this or that, yeah? We never ask, why are we doing this? Why do I need suddenly, you know, some food? Why do I need to go on a trip? Why do I need this? Or why do I need to speak to this person? Do you ever ask yourself? No. We just do it, yeah? And that makes us really robots, you know? Because of our conditioning, we do certain things. Hmm? Conditioning, what is conditioning? If, then, else. That is the basic of programming, yeah? If I see my mother, I react like that. Then I react like this, yeah. If I see my father, I react like that, yeah. If, then, yeah. If I don't see my mother, then I'm something else, yeah. This is conditioning, basic condition. And the Lord Buddha said about Nibbana, what is it? The unconditioned. There are no more conditions. We are happy, we are free. We free ourselves of this conditioning. That's it. And there's one way, you know, to do it, you know, to be aware of what we are doing, why we are doing and what the results of our doing is, so that we can slowly get rid of this conditioning. Some of the conditioning is very ingrained, yeah, so it is very difficult to get rid of. Because we constantly fall in the same trap, yeah, we constantly do the same thing without even being aware of it. So what do we need to do? Huh? Linda? Daily reflection. And why don't we do it? Because it's too difficult. We don't want actually to know what we are doing. Huh? The daily reflection in the evening, after our meditation, after we get the mind calm, just go through our day, with what kind of thought did I wake up, yeah, or what kind of dream, yeah, and just recall it, you know, and then let it go, and then go on to the next moment. When I, you know, what did I do then, yeah, I went to the bathroom, what did I do there, you know, what did I think while I was going to the bathroom? This is important, you know, it shows us, you know, it shows us the sequence of our actions and what our actions are actually based on. We don't say, you know, when we do the reflection, we don't say, you know, I mean, this is good or this is bad, yeah? Or we don't ask the question, why? We just want to know, you know, just like we watch a movie, you know, we watch every picture of the movie, yeah, without, you know, without any objections, without saying good or bad, yeah? We just watch it, okay? Then I went to the bathroom, I brushed my teeth. What did I think while I was brushing my teeth? Huh? We don't know. It's okay. If you don't know, then go to the next step. What did I do? Yeah? What happened? You know? What happened then? What happened then? Yeah? And then, slowly, when we do that every day, I mean, we see patterns of behavior or our conditioning. And when we see the patterns often enough, yeah, then we can see, over the time, we can see the cause for the pattern to arise. And once we see the cause for the pattern to arise, we can remove the cause, yeah? Because the cause is within ourselves. And then this pattern doesn't come anymore. And that's how we slowly free ourselves. And everybody, you know, no matter where he lives, you know, be it a monk, you know, or be it a layperson in a daily life, could do it, yeah? If he's keen enough, you know, to do the daily reflection in the evening, yeah? Sometimes in the evening, when you come home, you know, the first thing when you come home, you know, I mean, you calm the mind, get all the junk out that happened during the day. How many hours do we spend after we come home from work, you know, thinking about work and thinking about what happened there? Huh? How many hours, you know, it's going, you know, it's most of the time, you know, I mean, it's going into our sleep, you know, we can't sleep because we think and think and think and think. Yeah? When do you put your mind to rest, yeah? I mean, we put our body to rest every day, but our mind, you know, I mean, works 24/7, yeah? Put that mind to rest, yeah? Calm it down after work, you come home, you know, first of all, chuck out all these, you know, I mean, it's just like dusting or or wiping out, you know, the floor, you know, make the house clean and empty, yeah? Make your heart clean and empty, yeah? And then do the reflection, yeah? And the reflection is just there for us to see what we are doing, yeah? I mean, if you're so alert, yeah, if you're so awake during the day that you are about to do something and then you're hauled in and say, what is the state of my, you know, what is the state of my mind, yeah? What do I want to do? Yeah, most of the time when we want to do something, we are not really satisfied. We are not at ease. Yeah, for instance, we are hungry. Yeah, we are not at ease. Yeah, so we want to eat something. Yeah, just realize, yeah, that we are not at ease, and because we are not at ease, and that is most of the time, we speak or we. We watch something, or we go there, or we do something, yeah, just because we are, at the moment, we are not at ease. And we can see that, you know, when we are actually in meditation, and there's no more thoughts, and there's no more memories going on, we don't want anything. We don't want to move, we don't want to think, we don't want anything. Yeah? The moment we come out of meditation, or out of samadhi, you know, we want this, we want that, you know, we are unhappy about this, we are unhappy about that, yeah? So, and that's why we want to do things. So let's see it. Yeah? Let's, for us, you know, let's get a little bit more aware of what we are doing and why we are doing it. So before we do something, we hold in, you know, what is the state of my consciousness? What is the state of my feelings? Yeah? Or, you know, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, if you don't know, okay, I want to do that in order to get rid of this unpleasant feeling. Okay, go ahead and do it. But then, you know, after you did it, you know, check it again. Did I get rid? We never check. We just do it. We just go ahead and do things. I mean, every one of you, you know, when you go to a shop, yeah, and you want to have a soap, you know, that cleans your body, yeah? You go into the shop, you buy the soap, yeah? And then when you're back home, you know, you soap yourself, you know, and you see you don't get clean. Will you buy the soap again? No. But with our personal life, we do it constantly. We never check out if it has that effect on us that we aspire for. No, we don't. We just go ahead and do it, you know, and hope, you know, it will have that effect. And how often does it have that effect? How often did the Kilesas promise you, you know, I mean, if you do this, you will be happy, yeah? And then you did it and you will not be happy. How often did they promise us? How often do they lie to us? Constantly lie to us, yeah? Constantly suggest something. Ah, if you have more money, you will be happy, yeah? Or if you go here or you go there, you will be happy. Or if you talk to your friend, you will be happy, yeah? Or maybe even if you get drunk, you will be happy, yeah? How often do they tell us, you know, and do we get happy? No. They lie to us, huh? If you have a friend, you know, who tells you, you know, I mean, if you do this, you know, I mean, you get a lot of money, yeah? Then you go ahead and do it, you know, and you don't get any money, yeah? And then he tells you three things, you know, yeah? You start disbelieving him, no? Yeah? If people tell us lies, we start to disbelieving him. But our kilesas, we never disbelieve, we always believe, yeah? Because they tell us, it's me, it's mine, it's myself, it's me. Huh? Instead of asking, who are you? Yeah? Huh? Thou, who are you? So, we have to remember one thing about our citta. There are two powers in our citta. Yeah? It's a power of darkness and it's a power of light. Yeah? Or you can call it the power of Dhamma and it's a power of Avijja. Yeah? Avijja is normally sitting on a throne ruling us. Yeah. So if we ask this authority of Avijja, for instance, go to bed, you know, I don't want to follow your orders anymore. Yeah. Then it cannot do anything. If we don't give it, you know, yeah, what is it called, the scepter, you know, whatever, you know, where it can actually do something. Yeah? Achilles has suggested us, you know, let's go to bed, and then I say, no, I don't go to bed. So they don't have a power. The power, we give them the power. But we also give the Dhamma the power. So if the Dhamma says, it would be nice, you know, if you do some sitting meditation, and then we say, okay, let's do. If the Kilesa say, it would be nice, you know, to have a drink, you know, and then we say, no, why? We are the ones who decide, but we have forgotten that we are the ones who are deciding. Yeah? We give either the power to the Kilesas. The Kilesas are not us. Even though they suggest, it's me, it's mine, it's my feeling. Yeah? But we can't change our feelings, yeah? If it is your clothes, you know, if you have a white shirt or if a yellow shirt or a black shirt, yeah, if you don't like the white anymore and want to have a black shirt, you go to your drawer and put in a white shirt or a black shirt or a yellow shirt or red shirt, you know, and then you put it on because it's yours. Yeah? If you have a bad feeling, you know, can you change it to a nice feeling? But you say it's my feeling, huh? How can you say that, yeah? If it is your feeling, you chuck it out, you know, put in a new feeling, yeah? If it is my thought, you know, just chuck it out and put in a new thought, yeah? Can you do that? Yeah. No, it's because it's not us. It's not me, it's not mine, not myself. And this is something you really have to understand, that the things that appear within us, yeah, and not me, and not mine, and not myself. Yeah? The principle of anatta. Yeah? Whenever a difficult situation arises, yeah, say there's a difficult situation, yeah, and then turn it around, you know, into an easy situation. Yeah? For instance, you know, there's a difficult situation, and ask yourself, what can I learn from this situation? And then instantly it becomes interesting, you know, it's not difficult anymore. Because you have an objective, yeah? Oh yeah, what can I learn? Yeah? There's always something that we can learn from every situation we are in, yeah? And then it becomes something, you know, that is interesting, and if something is interesting, it's always positive. Huh? And we are not oppressed by the situation because we actually see that we can change it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is the power of the citta if we don't fall prey, you know, to these constant suggestions, yeah, that the kilesas give us, yes, do this, do that, yeah, speak this, speak that, you know, and so on, yeah. That's why I call ourselves robots, you know, because we don't really have any command, yeah. We have given up, you know, we have given up the desk of the CEO, yeah, that signs all the papers. The subordinates, our kilesas constantly come to us, yeah, please sign this, and we fast asleep, you know, we sign everything what they say, yeah? Instead of saying, no, I don't want this, yeah? Go back, yeah, change the plan, yeah? Change the design, yeah? I don't want this, yeah? No, we don't want to oppose the kilesas because the kilesas say, it's me. I, huh? I want this, yeah? Not, we don't say there is wanting. Because if we say there is wanting, then we can look at it, and then we can decide, is it necessary or is it not necessary? But if the kilesa suggests, I want this, you know, then of course, you know, yes. And we never get free of avijja, we never get free of this mastermind. Huh? So we have to do something, and of course, you know, opposing the master is like opposing a tyrant, yeah? I mean, he will send out his soldiers, you know, if you start to oppose him, if you start not to do what he wants, yeah? And these soldiers are called the kilesas, you know, and they, yeah? Oh, a little bit of pain, maybe he goes, yeah? Well, more pain, yeah? And then maybe he stops meditating. Or maybe a little bit of fear, you know, that depends on each character, you know. Maybe we induce a little bit of fear, you know, then he stops. Oh, I'm so afraid, yeah. These are the soldiers of avijja, yeah. We have to understand how it works, yeah. We don't understand a thing, you know. I mean, we just react, you know. We are reactionaries, you know. We react to whatever situation because of our conditioning. And we are not very likely to change our conditioning until something really bad happens. Yeah? Until we are completely dissatisfied with the results, and then we think about how are we going to change our attitude. Yeah? Only then. Yeah? No, we should change our attitude now. Yeah? I mean, we should, first of all, we should understand who am I? Five khandhas are not me. I can see the body. Yeah. Just look at your hand and they say, ah, it's my hand. Then look at the hand of your neighbor and they say, it's his hand. Yeah. All what you see is a hand. Why do you say it's my hand and it's his hand? Yeah. It's a hand. There's a hand, yeah, and then we cannot, yeah, go on, yeah. There's a feeling, yeah. Put them out for you to see, yeah. Not to be, you know, not to be induced by the kilesas, oh, it's me, it's mine, I need this, yeah. The more you need, you know, the more you have dukkha, yeah. The more dissatisfaction you have. If you don't need anything, you're satisfied. And that's what we can realize when we are in meditation. We're satisfied in samadhi. We're completely satisfied, we don't want anything. The moment we come out of samadhi, we want all these things, yeah. And that's when we do the reflection, yeah, to see, you know, how is this happening all the time? Why do I say these things that I say? Why do I do these things that I do? Yeah? Well, what is the reason behind it? Maybe there's a wrong programming, maybe there's a wrong conditioning. Maybe I never checked the conditioning and said, okay, throw out this conditioning, throw out this conditioning. And the more conditioning we throw out, the more freer we can react, yeah? Maybe then we can see our parents as human beings, yeah? Not just as our parents. Yeah? Difficult. Yeah? Because they are human beings, yeah? They're just like us. Not different, yeah? So that is the purpose, you know. Most of you will go, will leave tomorrow, yeah? I mean, if you find, you know, meditation useful, yeah? And if you don't like to be a robot anymore and then become a little bit more spiritual person who can actually decide what is going to happen in his life, yeah? And then take on meditation, yeah? Before you do anything, you know, start meditating for half an hour or for an hour, yeah? And then go ahead, you know, and do your things that you need for your livelihood, yeah? When you come back, you know, from working, you know, you do the same thing. You leave everything out, not interested in anything, you know, what happened during the day, yeah? And then, you know, once the mind is clear, you know, I mean, then you do your daily reflection. You don't want to change anything while you do the daily reflection. Oh, this is not good. No. We just want to see how things are working. Yeah? We want to understand, you know, how the clock is ticking. Yeah? And when we actually open, you know, one of these old watches, you know, hand watches or, you know, whatever you call them, you know, all what you see is, you know, five gears, yeah? Yeah? One gear, you know, turns the other gear, and then the other gear turns the other gear, and the other gear, and this gear, and you know, turns and turns and turns and turns around, yeah? And there's no meaning to it when we look at the gears, yeah? Just turning, yeah? And then we close the watch, yeah? And then suddenly we have time. It's too early, it's too late, it's right on time. It's the same thing, you know, when we look at ourselves, when we think who I am, we open up the watch, you know, and receive the five khandhas, the body, feeling, memory and association, thoughts, yeah, and consciousness. And they're just turning around. Consciousness, you know, turns on, you know, thoughts, and thoughts turns on memory, and memory, you know, I mean, turns on feeling, and then thoughts are coming again, you know, they turn on the feeling, and then memory comes again, they turn on the feeling, a similar kind of feeling, and suddenly we have an emotion, yeah? But it doesn't happen, you know, in once, you know. I mean, it is like an avalanche. Whoever has seen an avalanche, you know, you throw a stone, you know, into the snow, you know, and it rolls down. With each roll, you know, it takes on snow. And the longer it rolls, you know, the more snow it takes on, yeah? And that is called an emotion. It is nothing, you know, that is basic, yeah? The basic things are rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vinyana. That's the basic things. That's the basic ingredients of every drink that we drink, yeah? You just mix them differently together and then you have, yeah? I mean, just for food, you know? I mean, you have seven tastes, you know? You mix them differently and then we have the food of all the world, yeah? But actually, you know, the basic of each taste is sour, sweet, bitter, you know, and whatever, you know, greasy and so on, yeah? And then we turn them, mix them differently, you know, and then we have Chinese food, then we have Thai food, then we have Malay food, you know, huh? Or we have African food, you know, or we have American food or British food, yeah. Which is the same ingredients, but just mixed, you know, in different quantities. And that's the same thing with the five khandhas, huh? You take a little bit more feeling, you get more emotion, you know, I mean, you take out less feelings, you know, I mean, then you have this and, or you have that, yeah? I mean, actually, it's so simple, yeah? I mean, that's so beautiful about Buddhism, it's so logical, yeah? I mean, if somebody understands, you know, the principle, yeah, how this whole thing, you know, because we don't want to investigate I. We don't want to, yeah? Because I am, yeah? So that's finished, yeah? We don't want to investigate that, yeah? Just like the Christian never opened up the body until the beginning of the 19th century. Because it was holy, the body, yeah? I mean, if they would have opened up this, they would have seen it is a complete mess. What is holy in this, huh? All what you see is, you know, blood, poos, you know, shit, and so on. You know, you don't want to open that up, yeah? So, I mean, what is holy about that? So that's why they, you know, I painted it, you know, and washed it, you know, and then put it in a grave until it rots away, yeah? Nobody ever looked, you know, when it was rotten, you know, how it looked, yeah? But the body was holy, you know? And for us, you know, the eye is holy, yeah? So we don't want to touch it, yeah? We touch everybody else, you know? Yeah? He's not good, he's not good, that is not good, that is not good. Every situation we touch. But we never touch ourselves, huh? We constantly, you know, I mean, say, oh, look at this person, you know, look what he's doing, that's not good, yeah? Why don't you look at yourself, yeah? Other people are looking at you and saying the same thing, yeah? Why do we need to say this thing about other people? We don't like it to come back to us, huh? We don't like people, you know, talking badly about us, yeah? So why do we start talking badly about others, huh? All these things we can see. All these things, you know, we can investigate and see where they're coming from. And I can promise you they're all coming from some sort of dissatisfaction. We are not satisfied, yeah? That's why we make up these things. So understand, you know, I mean, if you really want to change your life, I mean, just these three things, yeah? Before you do anything, do meditation, 45 minutes, an hour, or maybe even more, you know, as much time as you have, yeah? When you come back from work, do another, yeah? Just clean up everything, yeah? Another meditation, and then do reflection. I mean, in the beginning, daily reflection takes a long time. I mean, last 1 hour or maybe 2 hours, because you can't get, you know. Our memory is not good enough. Yeah? But over the time, if you do it for 2 or 3 years, yeah, then, I mean, within 5 minutes, it is like a film. You know, we see every moment of the day rolling in front of us. And we see how things are connected. So it's a training. It's a training of memory. And memory is very important, you know, it is very important, you know, also for our practice. We need this memory, you know, to be able to analyze situations. So you train this memory, yeah? And even without, you know, without wanting to change this or wanting to change that, just looking at the daily, you know, our daily life. Yeah, what are we doing? And then we see why we start to do a certain thing, or we see our conditioning, and then we can remove, you know, the causes for our, we can remove the if, yeah? And then there's no conditioning anymore. But it's up to you, yeah. I mean, otherwise you're still in the roller coaster, yeah? Roller coaster of life. Going up. Huh? We can't wait until we're up, yeah? When you sit in the roller coaster. And then when it goes down, you know, down towards hell, you know, oh, you know, it's so much fun, yeah? Because it's so fast. And then it takes a long time to get up, just like in the cycle of birth and death, yeah? I mean, it is so fast, you know, when we go down, yeah, we just need to break all the precepts and then we go down very fast, yeah? And then to climb up, you know, slowly back to the human life, yeah? Or even to the deva life, you know, it takes so much time, yeah? Going down is so fast, huh? That's why I call it a roller coaster of life, yeah? Or if you want another way, you know, samsara, you know, the hamster wheel, yeah? Running, 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 but not going anywhere, yeah? Next time you go and look at a zoo, you know, a shop, you know, that sells animals, you know, look at the hamster. I mean, he's busily running, yeah? But not getting anywhere, yeah? He's always saying, stuck at the same place, yeah? But the Lord Buddha, you know, opened up the door of the hamster wheel for us to get out, yeah? And that the door, you know, is the door to Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, Arahant, yeah? It's the door to freedom. And it is up to us if we decide, yeah, if we want to get out, yeah, or not, or if we stay. If you like the hamster wheel, you know, put some nice paintings in it, yeah? Some nice curtains so that you don't see. maybe a radio to entertain yourself and a TV. And then you don't know that you run. You forget everything, you know, you forget the outside world. Yeah, and that's what most of us, you know, forget. Eh? There's something else. Eh? And if we want to know what that there is something else, we just need to go inside the heart. Eh? But the Kilesas won't let us so easily to get inside the heart. Yeah? They protect it. Yeah? Because they know, yeah, they are an endangered species when we go inside the heart. Yeah? Because then we can remove them, yeah? Unplug them, just like, yeah? Just like things in our garden that we unplug, you know, weeds and so on. Yeah? Things that are not supposed to be in our garden. Yeah? We can unplug it. Yeah? When we see it, if we don't see it, we can't unplug it. We can uproot it. We cannot uproot it. So, now it is time for you to ask questions. Yeah? Most of you are leaving, so I mean, ask the last question that you want to ask.
I have noticed that, that during the physical working, it is much harder to keep the Buddha, because there's like this burning on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much harder to keep the Buddha.
Yeah. Do some simple work where you can still keep the Buddha, yeah? I mean, if you don't have to think about what you're doing, yeah? I mean, if you just, you know, sweep, you can sweep with the Buddha, 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 yeah? Or if you take simple tasks, but if you sit in front of a computer, hopeless. You have to think. And you have to react, yeah? So, I mean, there you can't, yeah? But if you do simple tasks, yeah, taking out the carpet, washing dishes, putto, putto, putto. Yeah.
Is it like a habit? And
what?
Like this, is it a habit that it's harder to keep the Buddha well?
Normally, because we're easily distracted, but once you get a little bit concentrated, you find it much easier to stay with simple tasks, yeah, where you don't have to think with the Buddha. Yeah. But in the beginning, of course, you know, in the beginning, I mean everything, yeah. I mean, to train the mind to stay on one point, it is already difficult. I mean, when you're walking, you know, it is easier, yeah. But when the moment you start to moving your hands, you know, arms and do this or do that, you know, the mind instantly gets distracted, thinks about this, thinks about that, why do I need to do it, oh, it is heavy, yeah. I mean, all these senses come in, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But we can train it, you know, so nothing, that we just stay, you know, I mean, if you do simple tasks, just stay with the movement of the body, yeah.
So, is because of these senses that
yeah.
It is harder to...
Yes. Oh. It is because of the senses and our conditioning that automatically comes in, yeah? I mean, we have done this task before, we know we don't like it, you know, and now we have to do it, you know, and then all this aversion comes up, you know, and all this is it, right? But we can train, you know, over the time, we can train it, you know, for simple tasks to stay with the Buddha or to stay with the breath, you know, whatever, yeah? Whatever your object is. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
You think about the daily reflection of observing. So we just clarify, observing without any judgment.
I speak slowly and loud so that you know that I understand it here.
Sorry. So I want to clarify, you think about the daily reflection of observing.
Yeah.
So we just observe without any judgment, right?
We just observe, yes. Yeah, and don't judge. Yeah.
Do no Buddha there. Yes.
Sir. No, you can't do Buddha there. Yeah, because you need to recall actually. Yeah, you need to call up the memory. You know what happened in the morning. If you don't know it, just go to the next moment. Yeah, the next moment that you remember. Yeah, So we train our memory and it becomes really good, yeah?
just
a moment, Jeff.
I have a question about the difference between the citta and the consciousness aggregate. You explained that the citta is the one who knows that when the other aggregates fall away.
Yeah.
In my attempt to understand what is the difference between this and consciousness, it seems that consciousness is defined as cognizing, the act of knowing. And the act of knowing and the one who knows, I couldn't differentiate them, and I posed question to another monk who said that they're actually the same thing, and that the orthodox Theravada position is that there's no difference between them. And so I couldn't understand this. And in one of the Ajahn Mahabhu books, he has a line where he says that any sense of I am, I forget the exact quote, any sense of I am is fuel for rebirth, or something like this.
Yeah.
So my question is, I guess, one, what exactly is the difference between the knowing of the consciousness aggregate and the knowing of the citta? And why would we want to think of it as our true self if any sense of I am, even that of the citta, is fuel for rebirth?
That is, yeah. Choyin, can you answer that? The problem is our language. We have only one word for knowing. Yeah? And we associate it with knowing of consciousness. Yeah? I mean, actually when we say we are conscious that some sense objects, some objects come into the sense fields, that is the knowing that we normally use. Yeah? But the knowing of the citta is different. It's not the same thing. Yeah? The knowing is the awareness that something is going on within the citta, not in the consciousness. And the pure knowingness doesn't even know of objects. But we have only this one word, so I mean, how can I explain it, you know, if we have only one word, you know, it's called knowing, yeah? You know a lot of things, yeah? But in the knowing I'm more and more talking about is the experience of something. Without putting all this fluff on it, you know, without putting all this cake on it, or the cream, or, you know, or the shit on it, without putting adjectives on it, yeah? Just knowing the pure knowing, the pure sense contact. You know, how does it feel like? We don't even know it. Because we instantly say hearing, yeah? Or we instantly say feeling, or we instantly, you know, once we have the feeling, we instantly say good feeling, neutral feeling, unpleasant feeling. We have to get that out, you know, in order to come slowly to the knowingness. And if you really want to know the difference between knowing, yeah, this kind of knowing or the citta knowing, then you have to dive actually into the apana samadhi. Yeah? Where everything disappears there, where consciousness disappears, where all the five khandhas are gone. Yeah? And with all the five khandhas gone, the whole universe is gone. Yeah? And then you are what is it called? The privy of Nibbana. Then this is the pure knowing. That's why Lungta Mahabho also distinguishes between the pure citta. The pure citta has no self. The pure citta of every being is the same. Yeah? I mean, when you think, I think I described it, you know, I mean, the essence of a drop, of a water drop is water. Yeah? But we don't see the essence of the water drop, we only see the drop. Yeah? Look, next time when it is raining very heavily, you don't see the water, you see only the drops. Yeah? But in the water, you know, comes from the ocean. Yeah? So when the water drops falls into the ocean, yeah? I mean, it disappears, the form disappears. But the essence stays. And that's the essence, you know, that is the pure citta. Yeah? The moment all our form, you know, disappears, all the form, you know, that takes on the form of self, yeah, disappears, you know, then we are the pure citta. Yeah? We became actually one with where we were pulled out of, yeah. And we were pulled out of, you know, out of this, you know, essence, you know, to do all these things that we are doing. Yeah? Okay?
So if we're able to have the upana samadhi experience and encounter the pure citta, should we regard it as our true self, or should we regard it as anatta? or does this
I mean, this is not anatta. I mean, the Nibbana is not anatta. It doesn't have any of these. I mean, all these, anicca, anatta, dukkha, you know, are all described for the universe that we live in, from the universe of the senses, from the universe of the five khandhas. Yeah? When these cease to exist, yeah, there is no anatta. And there's actually no dhamma. And there's actually no avicca. Yeah? So within that state of mind, you know, these things don't exist because these are of fleeting nature of anicca. Yeah? They come, arise, and go. Come again, arise, and go. Come again, and rise, and go. Yeah? Sometimes I say it's true self, you know, but it is, you know, actually, and when I say the true self, or Lungda Mahabhor was a little bit more precise, he says, you know, I mean, it's a pure citta. And what we have, you know, at the moment is the defiled citta. And the defiled citta is, you know, loaded up with all these kilesas and so on. Once you get rid of all the kilesas, you become the pure citta, even if you live in the form that you still have. So it's confusing, yeah? I understand it's confusing because we talk about another dimension that doesn't exist within the realms of our language. Yeah? And we can't describe it, yeah? I mean, what did the Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, he said it is the unconditioned, he said it is the supreme happiness, he said, you know, about Nibbana, it is extinguished, you know, yeah, the fire is extinguished, you know, the fire of lust, the greed and hate and delusion is extinguished. I mean, he used a lot of synonyms for that, yeah, because there is actually no word how to describe it. And when you go into Apana Samadhi, I mean, when you come out, you know, the only thing that you can say is, you don't even say there is knowingness. The only thing you can say is, you know, I was awake. But everything else, you know, I mean, there was no object that you saw, yeah? There was nothing, you know, I mean, it is eternity, you know, I mean, one moment is the same, you know, for only when you come back, you know, you suddenly have time. So when I went in, you know, I mean, it is one moment you go in, and the next moment you come out. Because there is no space and there is no time in this, yeah, in this reality. Only when you look at your watch, then you notice, oh, 2 hours. Where have they gone? Yeah, you just dived in. In the next moment, you know, you dived out because then you know. Yeah, when you dive in, you don't know. You know, you don't know. You know, you don't know in the sense of this world. Yeah, you dive in and you come out, and up to 7 days can pass by. Yeah. And people can, you know, they can cut off your body, they can slaughter your body, they can torture you, and you won't know. When you come back, where's my body? Oh, it's gone. Let's have a look for another body. Yeah? Just like, you know, you drive with your car, you know, to the to a jogging field, you know, and then park your car, you know, and then you run, you know, and run and run. When you come back, you know, you see, you know, I mean, your car is completely demolished, yeah. I mean, then you can't go in and drive it anymore. Yeah? So you don't know anything about this world, yeah. That is the pure, you know, that is the pure samadhi, or the apana samadhi, or the deep samadhi. Yeah? I mean, it's amazing, yeah. Because there we see, you know, this whole world is, you know, filled, you know, it's all delusion, yeah? Yeah? Okay? Understood? Yeah? I mean, these things, you know, I mean, you can talk and talk and talk about it, but you still don't understand it, you know, you do have to experience. And the first thing where you experience, you know, a sense, you know, of selflessness, yeah, where there is no self, is this upacara samadhi, where there is just pure experience, yeah? There's nobody telling you what you experience. So you feel as there is no personality. Even in that state, there is no personality. Yeah. So you lose yourself. Yeah. That's why Descartes said, you know, I mean, 200 years ago, "Ik cogito ergo sum." I think, therefore I am. When I don't think, I am not anymore. Yeah. The I disappears. Very interesting. Yeah. But I doubt that he ever went to that stage. Okay, so John.
You mentioned about his reflection.
Yeah.
Means after the work that I've done.
Yeah.
Of a day.
Yeah.
And you sit down and reflect.
First you calm your mind, right? Yeah? You clear out everything, yeah?
Right.
So you do meditation, samadhi, yeah? Huh? Maybe 50 minutes, maybe an hour, yeah? So that the mind is clear, yeah? And once the mind is clear, then you come out of samadhi and then do the reflection. Okay, so... No more questions? Latvia? Yeah.
When I'm meditating and I notice that I'm thinking, and then I want to turn back to the Buddha.
Yeah.
And I keep.
Keep wanting to think.
Yes, there's this feeling of.
You really have to pull it back sometimes. You know, just let me think this thought. Yeah. Yeah. No. You can say no. Yeah. Pull it back. Yeah. And that, you know, that takes some time, you know, to get used to it, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah?
Just cut it off, yeah? Just say something, not interested. And that cuts it off for that moment, and then instantly after not interested, you go back to the Buddha or go back to the breath.
Sometimes it's also, when I...
Yeah, it's pulling,
when
yeah.
When I go back to the Buddha,
yeah?
After a few moments I notice, I was at the Buddha, but I still can go back to the Buddha.
Be patient, yeah? I mean, Rome wasn't built in one day, yeah? Didn't learn to walk in one day, yeah? Mm? It takes time, yeah? The constant training, yeah? The constant training of pulling it back, makes it more and more and more stable. So you have to do a lot of training.
No matter what, I just...
Yeah, no matter what. Yeah. That is the best way, yeah? Just say, sometimes I say, not interested, yeah? And when there are too many, you know, sometimes, you know, I imagine to have a machine gun to shoot them all up, yeah? Yeah? Until the masses of thoughts were gone and just the clever ones, you know, who avoided the machine gun fire came, yeah? And they were tricky, you know? Because, you know, they were immune to this ammunition. that is actually, you know, not being interested in whatever comes. Yeah? But they are very tricky. Yeah? In the beginning, the masses you can get off very easily, yeah, by not being interested. Yeah? But the ones who are tricky, who know you better than yourself, you know, I mean, they come in. But this is so important, you know, I mean, need to do it like now, yeah. These are the ones that you really have to stop. Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Cut. Yeah? I mean, whatever method you use, you know, I mean, cutting it up, you know, or just shooting them out, you know, and, yeah. Don't dive into, you know, because the moment you dive into, you know, I mean, they slowly pull you out, you know, and then after 20 minutes you realize, it's gone. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it happens. It happens to everyone, you know, I mean, you're not different from the rest of us, yeah. It happened to me, yeah. Sometimes I had, you know, during the whole day I had very good energy, you know, I mean, I could stay on my Buddha. And then suddenly a very interesting thought, you know, came, you know, about the Dhamma, of course, you know, yeah. Kilesas, you know, disguised himself as Dhamma, you know, and then I gave a lecture for 5 hours, yeah. And then after 5 hours I realized, you know, I mean, where was I? And in these 5 hours I was sitting completely calm, not even realizing any pain. When I wanted to sit, you know, for 5 hours, at least, you know, after 2 hours, you know, extreme pain came up, yeah? That shows you, you know, this kind of pain, you know, that comes up during meditation. I mean, it's not real. It's fake. Okay. Jeff?
I was really inspired by the stories in the Kudaka Nikaya of people who dedicate merit to a spirit that's been trapped for a long time, and immediately they turn into a deva. And so I started, in order to cultivate Brahma Viharas, doing merit dedication at the end of every meditation session, but the list of people that I started to include grew longer and longer, so that it started to feel tedious, and So my question is, I always wondered, and I don't know if you find this said anywhere, if you have 10 different people that you want to dedicate merit to, and
yeah.
you say, I dedicate merit to all beings,
yeah.
do all beings really receive them equally as though you had thought of each of those people individually? And so what is the appropriate amount of energy to put into calling to mind individual people that they're dedicated merit to? And in general, how often would you recommend putting Brahmavihara cultivation as an emphasis of your meditation? Was that like in the background?
At the moment, I wouldn't really put too much effort in it. Yeah? And especially, you know, if you get tired, then there's something wrong with your sharing of merit. Yeah? You try to give something, you know, I mean, actually, you know, when I teach about, you know, metta meditation, I teach, you know, invite the devas to come and find the metta in my heart, because they know where it is. I don't know where my metta is. Yeah? But the moment I invite them to come to my heart, yeah, they come and take the metta. And then, through observing them, you know, I know where the metta is. Yeah? And the metta never ends. Yeah? It's always there. Yeah? So the moment you try to pour it out and pour it on all these beings, you know, it is very tedious, and actually there's no metta in it, you know. You just try to do something. Yeah? Metta is a state of being. Yeah? And through this state of being, you actually share it with the beings around you. Yeah? But you can invite them, you can invite the devas, and then, you know, you first invite the devas, you know, to take part in your metta, then you invite, you know, the human beings or your parents and your relatives, you know, and every being, yeah, and then you invite everyone, yeah, to take part in the merit of your deeds or to take part in the metta that is in your heart, yeah. Don't try to push it out, you know, that is fake. That's not real metta. That's our imagination of metta. Yeah? A lot of, I know it is done in the West so often, yeah. I imagine this candle, you know, and then, you know, spread it on all these people. Yeah? That's fake. That is not metta. Yeah? Metta is there in the heart. Yeah, and the more people draw from it, the more you have. Yeah? If only a few people draw from it, you have very little. But if thousands or millions of people or beings are coming, you know, draw from it, you have lots. Yeah? It's a never-ending well. So don't try to push it out on something. Yeah? And about the merit, of course, only people, you know, you have a close relation with in this life, yeah? Even if you share it with all beings, only these people can benefit more. The more their relationship to you, yeah, is defined, yeah, or, you know, the closer the relationship, the more they can take. So, for instance, you know, your parents can take 100%. Your brothers and sisters maybe only 20% or 30%, depends on, yeah. Your friends might take 50% or 60%, yeah. Your wife can take maybe 80%, yeah.
Do they have to know in order to
be... No. Why? I mean, if you transfer some money on account of your friend, does he have to know? He will sooner or later find out, oh, somebody, yeah, transferred some money on my account. Huh? You don't have to let them know, they know it, yeah? I mean, they just look at their pay, oh, nice, I received some money. Huh? I mean, it's easy, you know, it is the safest bank in the whole universe, yeah? Nothing gets lost, yeah? If you transfer, you know, if you transfer merit to your parents, you know, I mean, they will, whatever, yeah? But there are some states of deprivation. When they are in the hell, or when in the hungry ghost realm, they cannot receive that merit yet. But the bank will keep it. Once they come back to the ghost realm, to the normal realm, they can start to receive the merit. They can go to the bank, you know, and receive some of the merit. If they're in the human realm, in the deva realm, they can always receive it at all times. Yeah. Yeah. So there's no problem. Yeah. But it's not only the relations that you have in this life. It's the relations that you had in all of your lives. So, I mean, it's not only these 1,000 people, you know, that you know of, yeah, that can, yeah, that can have benefit from your sharing your merit. It can be millions or billions or trillions of beings, yeah, that you had contact with in your last life, yeah. Some of them, you know, are in a deprived state. Some of them are in the deva realm. Wherever they are, yeah. Okay.
So the suttas were the Buddha talks about radiating goodwill. You radiate it in this direction, in that direction, in this direction. And I never understood radiating, really heat. So is this something? Is this connected with an actual practice?
That is a translation that you read. Don't never forget that you read translations, and with the translations comes the imagination of the people. Of course, you radiate it, but you don't do it. Yeah. I mean, the more power a candle has, the more it radiates the light out. The more matter you have, or the purer your heart is, the more it radiates out. Yeah? So normally, you know, within 100 kilometers, you know, of Lungta Mahabodhi's monastery, I mean, it radiated through all this. Yeah? And she doesn't have to radiate it. I mean, it's the strength of the candle, you know. I mean, the stronger the candle is, the more it radiates out the light. Yeah. People always think they have to do something. No. We don't have to do something. We have to be. You understand that? Different? Yeah. To be and not to have. Yeah. To be or not to do. Yeah. That's so difficult for us, because I mean, all our life, you know, we are trained to have, yeah? Nobody trained us to be, just to be, yeah? That reminds me of my master, teaching master, Lungta Mahabodhi, yeah? When Lungta Mahabodhi was not on the stage, that means he didn't give a course. You know, he just walked through the forest. You didn't even notice him. He was not there. The moment he got on the stage and talked, you know, I mean, his full presence showed. Yeah? He was a person without a self. You could walk through him, you know. I mean, you couldn't even offend him. You know? You could walk through him. You know? And if you would be on the street, not being accompanied, normally accompanied by hundreds of people, yeah, you wouldn't even notice it. You would see, what an old monk, yeah. And now when you look at the teachers, the meditation teachers, you know, I mean, you can't even approach them, yeah. Isn't it? Huh? I mean, they, you know, I mean, they have a big wall around, you know, don't come closer to me, yeah. But not with Lungta, you know. I mean, you could come very close, you know. I mean, he never pushed you away, yeah. But that is only people, you know, who live with an arahant, you know, I mean, can have this experience. And I mean, how can we know, you know, how an arahant is, eh? And if you see a couple of arahants, like I had the fortune, you know, I mean, everybody has a different characteristic, yeah. But they have all one thing in common, yeah. This selflessness, yeah? Complete selflessness. And now it is very difficult to find an arahant. Yeah? I mean, they all died out, you know, and the young generation just wants to have. Yeah? More money. Money makes us happy, huh? Makes us actually quite unhappy. Yeah? The more money we have, you know, the more we have to worry about that it doesn't disappear. You know, if we just have enough money to live, we don't have, we never have to worry about that it disappears. Yeah, it's a lot of things there. Yeah. Okay, understood? Yeah?
After when I come out of meditation, I notice that my visual perception has changed. But everything feels like calm and flowing, and I feel like there is no delay.
Yeah.
So to say, is that a good sign?
Yeah, that's actually quite a good sign.
I mean,
But, you know, the only reliable sign is when you come out of meditation and you feel concentrated and you feel energized. That is always a sign of a good meditation. Not if it was difficult or not, or easy. That's not a good sign. Yeah? Okay? So, there, yeah?
You say about metta is living with it, it will grow. And how do you make it, like, cultivate with it? Is it through concentration and samadhi training as well?
What do you want to make grow?
You say about metta, you have like candle light and radiance.
Yeah? Metta is a primary, it's a primary aspect of our heart. Yeah? I mean, if you have a gold bar, you know, in your house or in your attic, you know, and this attic is filled with all this rubbish, yeah, and all this dirt and all this shit, yeah. I mean, how can you make this gold bar shine that is covered up? Yeah? I mean, you remove all the shit, you know, you remove all the dust, you remove all the dirt, and then it starts glowing by itself. Because it's always there. And metta is always there in our heart. Yeah? Compassion is always there in our heart. But it is, yeah, we've covered it all up. Yeah? And then we locked it with 7 locks. Yeah? So that we can't access our heart anymore. And we lost the keys, you know. We threw them away. Now we have to, through meditation, we have to find the keys and unlock one lock after the other so that we can go back to the heart. Yeah. Most of the people even don't know what it means, you know, to have a heart. They all live in their mind, yeah? They all live in their ivory tower, you know? Never go down, you know, and see what reality is like, yeah? Okay? No, I mean, all these things, we don't have... That is the idea of Westerns, that we have to produce something, that we have to make something. No, metta is the quality of the heart. I mean, the Lord Buddha had enormous metta, yeah? I mean, he could radiate, this metta radiated, you know, I mean, probably the whole continent of India, yeah? Because of the purity of his heart. An arahant has enormous, yeah, because he made the heart pure, you know, he made the gold, you know, yeah, shine, you know, and there's no dust, no speckle of dust on it anymore, yeah. So the gold has all the power to shine, yeah. And it was always there, yeah. And it's always there. We don't have to make something that, you know, that our imagination, yeah. Oh, I'm so compassionate, yeah. No, you're not compassionate, you're just egoistic, yeah. You only think about yourself, yeah? When you see somebody suffering, you think about, oh, when I'm in this situation, oh, this must be so terrible. But you don't even know how this other person feels. Huh? You're selfish. We are all selfish, yeah? We only think about ourselves. If we are in the situation, yeah? Just like, you know, we see somebody, oh, suffering so much, and then instantly, you know, I mean, we put ourselves, you know, in the shoes of the other and say, oh, how much this part, yeah? We only think about ourselves. We don't even think about it. Maybe he doesn't suffer. Maybe he, you know, he has this, has already developed this kind of, you know, metta and so on, you know, and is happy with his situation. But we think, oh, that is so terrible. Most of our actions are really selfish, yeah? So, nothing more? Yeah? Now you go back to your, now you go back to your hamster wheel, yeah? running, okay, what?
Regarding the questions on developing one-pointedness in daily life,
yeah. Oh, forget about that. Just train some one-pointedness. Okay. I mean, you can't talk to anybody, you can't think any thought, you know, for weeks to go. Huh? I mean, upachara samadhi, you know, where thoughts and memories stop. That is the most that you can achieve, you know, in your daily activity. Even for a monk, it will be difficult, you know, I mean, because he still thinks about this, you know, does this and does that, and constantly talks animal talk, yeah? So I mean, he's constantly distracted. For one-pointedness, you really have to. You can't be interested in anything. You have to be really, what is it, you know, tunnel view. Yeah? The only thing that you see is your object. And you don't see anything around it. And you have to be tunnel viewed for quite a while, yeah? Yeah? And you can't do that in your life. Yeah? You have to respond to other people. You have to react to other people. You have to react to situations. So, I mean, Apanasamadhi, forget it about, you know. I mean, it is, you know, you will be so happy if you can get every day into Upachara Samadhi where you can really relax and, you know, and re-energize, yeah? That's about what you can do, yeah? Even, you know, for practitioners who stay here for half a year, you know, I mean, it's not necessary that they get into Apana Samadhi, yeah? I mean, it also depends, you know, what you've done in previous lives, how good was your practice in previous life. I was lucky, you know, that, yeah, but I also had a good job, you know, I used to be a programmer who was really, you know, focused, you know, yeah? So I had always good concentration, yeah? And we didn't at this time, you know. I mean, nowadays every boy, you know, has his smartphone, you know. I mean, how much are you distracted through your smartphone? They constantly play with it, yeah? They can't even communicate with others anymore. They just text each other, yeah? I mean, this is a 24/7, you know, computer in your pocket, yeah? Yeah, when you want to know something, you look it up on the phone, yeah? When you want to do this, you know, you look it up, you know, or you text something, or you call somebody, or this, yeah? I mean, when I was raised, you know, I mean, Saturday and Sunday was the most boring time, there was nothing, everything was closed down, yeah? So you had to do something, you know, with yourself, you know, Joanne probably knows it. Saturday afternoon. Yeah, Sunday afternoon there was maybe a football game. Yeah, but during that, you know, during that time, you know, was in turn we say that trousers, you know, nothing was going on. Yeah, but nowadays, you know, look, yeah, I mean the kids with 12 years, you know, all play with their smartphones. Yeah, how can they ever learn, you know, how to be concentrated on one thing? They're instantly distracted by this or that, yeah? Then this message pops out, that message pops out, then they look at this, then they look at that, you know? Yeah? Daryl, you notice that, yeah? Yeah? Don't use your smartphone too much, yeah? That's why we don't allow, you know, smartphones here, yeah? I mean, people get so easily distracted, you know, when they get bored, you know, they look at their smartphone, yeah? Instead of looking at the dissatisfaction of boredom, yeah? Yeah.
Even 2 and 3 year olds are on
phone. Yeah. And even at my time, you know, when I went to study in the States, you know, I mean, they put the 3 or 4 years old in front of a TV so that, I mean, that is not much better, yeah. We didn't have my family didn't have a TV until I was 15, and then I wasn't interested in it anymore. Yeah. Yeah, I was interested in other things. Yeah. That is, you know, that's why it is so difficult for the young generation to really be able to concentrate on one object. Yeah, because we are constantly distracted. Yeah? And remember, you know, I mean, the Arahants of, you know, of Thailand. You know, most of them are farmers. Yeah? Simple-minded people. Yeah. Not distracted by all this technology advances, you know, and cars and whatever they had, you know. Even at that time they had cars and so on. And other distractions, you know, radios. No, a farmer, you know, lived a very simple life, you know. So, I mean, there was not so much distraction, yeah. So it was much easier for them. You know? But they chose that kind of life, yeah. Anyway, so, finished?
Can I ask one more?
Okay.
One more. For a long time, I've been trying to figure out exactly how the practice leads to stream entry. And your explanation makes it clear in the first way it can appear to me. But I want to ask the other people who who are teaching that the way to stream entry is by body scanning without samadhi and without body contemplation, just scanning. Mm-hmm. Do you think that actually does anything, or are they all confused about the fact that this leads to stream entry? Mm-hmm. And also, in another one of your videos, you said that 1 in 1,000 people can do jhana, and that for the rest of the people, it's out of the question. But there's a lot of people teaching jhana out there, and they say like 20% of lay people go on retreats can do jhana the first time. Do you think that what they're doing is not jhana, and they're just confused about what
it's an imagination of jhanas. It's a fake jhanas, yeah? A lot of people, you know, do fake jhanas, yeah? And a lot of teachers are teaching fake jhanas, yeah? Right? There are a lot of fake teachers, yeah? So, I mean, what shall I say, yeah? About... What was the first question?
The drive of path and the body.
Oh, the path to liberation. Yeah, I mean, look, they told. I think you know. I mean, it was 20 years ago. You know, somebody came from America. You know, and came to see Lungta Mahabua. You know, and then they said, I mean, they teach wisdom without samadhi. And then Lungta Mahabua said, it's impossible. Yeah. I mean, he just laughed. You know, okay, let them do it. You know, they don't get anywhere. It's called sila, samadhi, panya. Without sila, yeah, without enough sila, you will never enter the stream. Without enough samadhi, you will never, you know, you will never enter the stream. And without panya, you will never enter the stream. Sila, samadhi, panya are three columns where you build your house on, yeah? If you just use panya, doesn't work, yeah? If you build it on two, you know, it still goes off, yeah? If you build it on three, it's stable. But you have to raise these three columns. Yeah? So what you said is, you know, sila, yeah, I mean, fosters, you know, samadhi. Yeah? Samadhi fosters wisdom. Wisdom fosters sila again. Yeah, they all help each other so that they can grow together, you know, and build a very stable foundation. Yeah. Anything lacking, nothing works. Yeah? I mean, that's the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Why don't they listen to it? Yeah? I mean, they are so clever, you know, coming with all these suttas, you know. That's what the Lord Buddha said. That's what the Lord Buddha... But here, they don't come. Yeah? I mean, he said it so... It was so clear, you know, how he said it. Yeah, and that's actually, you know, how it is always taught in the Thai tradition. Yeah? Without samadhi, you will not be able to develop wisdom. Yeah? Without wisdom, you know, your sila doesn't get refined. Without the refinement of the sila, you won't get deeper into samadhi. And without getting deeper in samadhi, you know, your wisdom will lack. Yeah, and so on. Yeah, I mean, it they all need to go together, hand in hand. Okay. The best thing is, you know, just don't listen. Yeah. It's just, even in the world, you know, even in our, you know, scientific world, there are so many fake teachers, yeah? They just want to be known, you know, they just want to make a name for themselves, you know, but not knowing anything about it, yeah? Let them do it, you know, they will go down, yeah? And especially if they use the Dhamma, you know, the Lord Buddha has warned people, yeah? Don't, yeah? Yeah? He said, the Dhamma is like a snake. Yeah? If you grab it at the tail, it comes around and bites you. Yeah? And poisons you. Yeah? And if you think you're a good Dhamma teacher, yeah? Then, but if you teach wrong, you know, Dhamma wrongly, then you just will go down. Yeah? And then the next life, you know, even in this life, you have the opportunity to find the true Dhamma. In the next life, but you know, you find, you know, I mean, you have a wonderful experience and then you suddenly think you found the Dhamma and then you go out and teach and preach and preach and preach, yeah? And then in the next life you won't even find a true teacher because you fooled so many people, yeah? Not intentionally, not willingly, you know, but, you know, taken over by our greed, you know? To be somebody. Yeah?
So the people who are influenced by this kind of teaching, it's just their karma.
It's their karma, yeah. I mean, how many people did they find their way to Lungta Mahabua? How many Westerners? Two handful, yeah. But anyway, yeah. I mean, yes, of course we have this karma, you know. I mean, you have the good karma, you know, to come to the true teaching, yeah. Now people will call me arrogant because I say, here's the true teaching. They call me all sorts of names, yeah? Doesn't matter to me, yeah? Let them call me whatever they want, yeah? Let them call me a douchebag or a shitbag or whatever. You know? It is their opinion and they can't change their opinions, yeah? So why bother about, yeah? If somebody gives me a reason why I'm arrogant, you know, I mean, I will listen to it, you know, and then I see it, yeah? Of course. Because I say things very definitely. And that, you know, in the West, you know, is considered to be arrogant, yeah? But I know things, yeah? I mean, if I know the way to Rome, I know it, yeah? If I don't know the way to Rome, I say, maybe this is the way to Rome, maybe that is the way to Rome, maybe, you know, maybe this, you know, or you should try it this way, or you should try it this way. I never tried it myself, but, you know, I heard, you know, other people tried. No, I mean, I say it straight on, you know, and Lungda was the same thing, yeah? Lungda Mahabo, you know, I mean, he said, this is the path, and that's not, yeah? This is too excessive, that is too little, yeah? Well, let the people call me whatever they want, yeah? They always say, you know, I'm so harsh to my monks. Yeah? I'm not harsh enough, you know? I can't be... Sometimes, you know, I mean, I do have to laugh. You know, there was a situation with Lungda Mahabo. I mean, one of the monks came up to his kuti. And he really scolded him. Yeah. Wow, you know. I mean, he was in the beginning. You know, was as big as one meter fifty. You know, when he came out of the kuti, he was just the size of a. And then he crawled back. Yeah. And then the moment he was down at the from the kuti, you know, away, you know, looked back. He laughed. He had to laugh himself off. Yeah. I can't be so, you know, sometimes I'm serious, you know, but I can't be long enough serious, yeah? Only if I see a very grave mistake, yeah? And then Lungda also got very big, yeah? Now I should be more serious, you know, so that people will learn more, but, I mean, it's bothersome. I don't want to be serious, yeah? I want to have fun just the same way, yeah? Making jokes, yeah? But people don't get, you know, Lungda Mahabo never was serious with, was always serious with the monks, but never serious with, oh man, he cracked so many jokes in the sala. I mean, when I was meditating, I didn't go to eat, yeah? I mean, it was about 500 meters away, you know, in my kuti meditating, and then suddenly I have a roaring laughter. The whole sala was up, yeah? Roaring laughter, yeah? Because he told some of these jokes, you know. I mean, he made them comfortable, yeah, and then put in some dhamma, you know, and then made him comfortable again. You know? Very similar way to the Lord Buddha, you know, when two people came late to his dhamma talk, you know, what did he say? You know, I give them food, you know, to eat so that, you know, that they are not bothered by their hunger and so that they can listen to the dhamma. Yeah? And then after they eaten, you know, he gave a dhamma talk. Yeah? Okay, so, finished. Yeah, have a nice trip back, you know, and don't forget yourself, you know, become human beings, not robots, yeah? Yeah? Well, it's up to you, you know. Robots is an easy life, you know, you just follow the orders of your kilesas, you know, and, yeah? But then you are unhappy all the time. Yeah? Don't worry, be happy, yeah? Yeah? Remember that? If you don't worry, you know, you are happy, yeah?